Look, it doesn't happen often, but I changed my sermon Saturday. It's just been the last 10 days have just been kind of brutal. And so I thought, it's just been hard. A lot of hurt, a lot of pain. There's a lot of stuff going on in our church and in our community and our world. And a lot of people are hurting. And I am. And so I kind of figure, even though you guys think I'm way different than you, we're really pretty much the same. And if I'm hurting and asking questions, I just imagine one or two of us in here maybe doing the same thing. So we're going to pick up the 1 John's thing next week, and we'll be talking about confession. So sin a lot this week, and you can confess next week. So let's pray. Gracious God, and now may your word be proclaimed either through me or perhaps in spite of me. Amen. So there are certain events in your life that you always remember. Some are good, some are not so good. For me, I will never forget July 1969, the day man landed on the moon, and Neil Armstrong said those famous words, you know, one blah, 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 whatever it were. And those were important, right? But that's not why I remember the day. I remember that day because the Mets were 9.5 games out of first place, and they came back to win the whole thing. Greatest day of my life, next to marrying Jill. The greatest day of my life, next to having the boys. The greatest day of my life, 1969. And then there's those days that's not so good. And Jill, don't listen to this. Does anybody know Tammy Hinton? Tammy Hinton, anybody know her? I've tried to stalk her on Facebook. I can't find her. Tammy was my first girlfriend. She was the first girl that I just loved. I mean, you know? And she was the first girl I asked to go steady with me. She's the first girl I gave that ID bracelet, remember those? With your name on it, so the entire school would know that she and I were dating and we were in love, right? She's the first girl I kissed. She's the first girl I danced with. She's the first girl that I loved. And she was also the first girl that broke my heart. And I'll never forget that day, how it felt to have your heart broken, smashed. Anybody else remember their first love? Anybody? She's sitting next to you, right? Yeah. First love. Melissa, she dumped you, you dump her. She dumped you. We had somebody at 8 o'clock claim it was mutual. There's no such thing. But we let them believe it was mutual. Can't you remember your first date, first love? Her name? Ann. She dumped you?
Yeah.
Smart girl. Did she really dump you?
Yeah.
How old were you?
17.
That's the first girl you loved at 17? I was in sixth grade. What's wrong with you? anybody else? Anybody dump someone? Anybody just like dump and shatter someone's heart? You can admit it. Go ahead and leave. You're just heartless. Did you really? Who'd you break? Whose heart was it? What's his name? Did he get over it? See, that's what happens when your heart breaks. Joe, she was your first date? Okay. You are brilliant. Whether that's true or not, I'm using the line. I dumped Tammy for Jill. But anyhow, we remember those things, right? We remember first dates. When I was in seminary, I took a class in Old Testament, and it was specifically to study the book of Jeremiah. I love the prophet Jeremiah, and partially because I like the song, Jeremiah was a bullfrog, so I thought Jeremiah had to be a good prophet. I thought that's what the song was written for. But I love Jeremiah the prophet. If you've never read it, you should read it, because one day you're going to die, you're going to be in heaven, and Jeremiah's going to come up to you, and he's going to say, hey, did you read my book? It'd be really embarrassing if you have to say, huh? You wrote a book? And so read it. But in this book, I learned in this class a couple of things. I learned, first off, that Jeremiah did not know Tammy Hinton. I learned that. Second thing I learned is, well, I never learned, I don't know if Jeremiah ever had a girlfriend or if he ever had his heart broken by a girl, but I learned he had his heart broken. You see, for Jeremiah, he was a prophet of the people of Israel. And Jeremiah and God worked hard to try to lead the people of Israel in the direction God would want them to go. And the more they pleaded, the further away they would go. And it just was killing Jeremiah because these people he loved, and they were just messing up, and he didn't know what to do. And so finally, he cried out. And when he cried out, he wrote some words. And it was the passage that Lauren and Tommy read. And if you're ever heartbroken, and you want to know if anyone understands that, just read that passage of Jeremiah. Because he understands. And it's powerful. Now, in that class, though, I learned that not everyone agrees that those were the words of Jeremiah. Everyone says Jeremiah wrote them. But there's this line of thinking that says that wasn't Jeremiah speaking, but actually was God speaking. And I want you to hear this. And I want you to imagine our God speaking these words. This is what he said. No healing, only grief. My heart is broken. Listen to the weeping of my people all across the land. Isn't the Lord in Zion? Is her king no longer there? Why then did they anger me with their images, with pointless foreign gods? The harvest is past, the summer has ended, yet we aren't saved because my people are crushed. And because my people are crushed, I am crushed. Darkness and despair overwhelm me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then have my people not been restored to health? If only my head were a spring of water and my eyes a fountain of tears, I would weep day and night for the wounds of my people. Isn't that amazing? That God's heart breaks like that. Now, what I think is Jeremiah might have said those, or God might have. But I think it's really kind of a combination of both. Because you see, the God I know, the God I worship, the God I proclaim, the God I have staked everything I believe on, his heart breaks when one of his children's heart breaks. And when one of his kids cry, the God I know cries with them. That's what I believe. That's what a parent does, right? I don't know about you, but there are more times than I care to remember when my heart was broken. And when my mom would talk to me, I could just see it in her eyes that her heart was broken. And there's more times than I could ever count that I cried. And when I did, my mom would hold me. She would never lecture me or tell me I told you so or say some goofy saying that's supposed to make you feel better or give you a pep talk. She would just cry with me. That's what parents do. That's what we do as parents. That's what hopefully your parents did with you. And if we do that, then I gotta believe the God that we worship, his heart breaks when ours break. And he cries when we cry. Either way, you gotta know, Jeremiah's heart was broken. God's heart. And at some point in this passage, Jeremiah or God cries out, is there no balm in Gilead to heal my people? Now, Gilead, as you may know, was a little village and was to the east of where Jeremiah was. And it was known for this balm, this ointment. And they would drain sap out of a tree, however you do that. They would process it and turn it into this healing balm. And people believed it had this miraculous power. And people would go to Gilead to be healed and to be cured of all sorts of ailments. And so Jeremiah asked, or God asked, is there a balm? Is there a medicine that can heal my people? Is there something that can fix a broken heart? I gotta be honest. The last 10 days have been rough. 2 weeks. Been just rough. A couple of friends of mine went through a horrible divorce. And it just broke my heart. Last Wednesday, I was eating lunch with Boyd Wagner, who was one of my mentors in ministry. He was at First Church Houston when I did my internship. And Boyd was, I hadn't talked to him since his wife Joyce died. And we were sitting at the restaurant and we were talking. And he started telling me about how Joyce got sick and eventually died. And he just, tears rolling down his cheek. And my heart just broke. And it just, my day was just shot. Because here was my mentor. I couldn't help him. And then this past Thursday, one of our church members who I was so honored to be asked to do the funeral of his wife, who just died suddenly. Well, Thursday would have been their 49th anniversary. He was just crushed all day. My heart broke. And then we have people in the hospital and going through surgeries and, you know, people having heart attacks. It's just been, and it's just hard, you know? Then you read about a kid in Orlando that gets snatched by an alligator, and you think about your own children, and I think about how many times did I wade in water with the boys in Florida, and how lucky I am that never happened. And I hear about this kid in Houston whose parent, for some reason, left him in the car, and he killed him. And I just was broken. And then the shooting in Orlando just tore me up. 49 innocent people just mowed down. And if that wasn't bad enough, all week you heard politicians and preachers just spewing hatred and anger about the victims. And then you have the Westboro Church, and it just broke my heart. And then Saturday, I get a call telling me that Jack Meredith died. That was like the, pushed me over the edge. Jack was one of the first people I met here. I met Joe first, I think I met Jack second. And if you knew Jack, he was just that kind of man, you know? I could stand up Sunday or Tuesday at the funeral and I could just say this. Jack Meredith was a good man. I could just sit down. Because that says everything about him. Every woman in this church who he would see had a kiss on the cheek. I sat Saturday with the family after this beautiful wedding. I sat with the family and Anna, 64 years, her soulmate is gone. And you just hear stories. And so driving to the church on Saturday, or when we were doing our bike ride, I told Jill, I said, I just can't preach what I was going to preach. Because I had these questions about, you know, what do you do with a broken heart when your heart just breaks like it has the last 2 weeks? So I turned, when I got to the church for the wedding, I turned to Jeremiah, to this chapter. And I'm reading, I'm thinking, that's exactly how I feel. I am crushed because people I love are crushed. And those words became my words. And I flipped over through the Bible, and I was reminded of the truth. And it's something I've known, something I've preached, but you know, sometimes you just forget, you need to be reminded. So I just want to remind you. I share often that what I preach, 9 times out of 10, I'm preaching because I need to hear it, and I'm hoping someone needs to hear it. So I just needed to remind myself that Jeremiah is right. There is no balm in Gilead. There was not an ointment that could fix a broken heart. That the only thing that can fix a broken heart isn't sap from a tree, but it's the love and grace that is poured out from someone who died on the tree. And because of that death and resurrection, when our hearts are broken, we have a God who understands. And I get asked all the time when something bad happens, you know, why that happened? Why would God allow that to happen? Where was God when that happened? And my answer, not to the Board of Ordained Ministry, but my answer to real people is, I don't know, but I know this. When our hearts are broken, God's heart is broken. And when we cry, God cries. So where do broken hearts go? And that's when it hit me. They come here. And where else do you go? Because here you can meet God. And I'm not saying you can't meet God out there. You can meet God there. But here, not only do you meet God, here you're surrounded by a community of people who love you unconditionally, who pray for you, and they give you an embrace, or they pat you on the back, or they hold your hand. And through that, the healing power of God begins to mend your heart. So we come here. This is where we go. To a God who promises that he will wipe away every tear. Look, I don't know what some of you are going through. Some of you I know. I know the hurt and the pain. I know that you're struggling with medical things and, you know, cancer and heart things and going through divorces and relationships and children who have just, you can't just seem to reach them. You're going through financial problems that just threaten to just bury you. And your heart's broken. Well, I think if your heart's broken, you're here for a reason. This is where you meet God. A God who says, come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest. A God who says to me, come to me, all who are broken, and I will heal you. A God who says, come to me, all those who need love and acceptance and grace. Pour it out upon you. So I imagine there's a couple people here with broken hearts. So what we're going to do is we're going to just give you a chance to pray. Melissa, who you can't see, is going to play some on the organ. And she's just going to play, and you have a chance to go to God. The altar's open. We put the cushions out in case anybody wants to pray. There. You stay in your seat. What I hope, this is what I hope. I hope that when you're just laying this stuff to God, I hope the person sitting next to you just grabs your hand, squeezes it, so that you know you're not alone. So take a few minutes. Where do broken hearts go? Right here. It's your time.